Be advised, mature content ahead. This podcast is brought to you ad-free thanks to the Legion of Demons at patreon.com/notlp. If you like what you hear, there's much more at patreon.com/notlp. Join the Legion. That's patreon.com/notlp. And now the show.
How do you do?
Just a word of friendly warning. I think it will thrill you. It may shock you. It might even horrify you. So if any of you feel that you do not care to subject your nerves to such a strain, now is your chance to, we warn you.
Welcome back. Your dreams were your ticket out.
Hey, Kelly.
Hey, you sweat hogs. You gotta do your work. My girlfriend has huge glasses, and I gotta do school to afford them.
Welcome back to the studio, Kelly.
Hi. Thanks for welcoming me back with that lovely John Sebastian song.
It is a great song.
That was some great, like, you just pulled that, Mr. Cotter, like, impersonation out of your butthole. It was amazing.
Was that a Cotter impersonation or a Travolta impersonation?
No. That was Cotter.
I never seen the show, so I don't know.
Gabe Kaplan.
Mm-hmm. You do have puffy hair like he does right now.
I do. It's probably going to get cut somewhat, but I have been growing it out, so.
I've been not deliberately growing mine out, too.
Freddie's got a more Kaplan-esque hairdo right now, just because it's coily.
Yeah. Well, you should see when mine's combed.
Yes.
You know, it's beautiful.
It's long and luscious,
and thanks
just for, like his pubes.
Thanks for calling me skinny earlier, Amy. Even you know,
are skinny.
But it's nice to even have that thrown at me.
Threw it at you.
I'll throw a semi at you.
It was was nice. Hi, listeners. Hi, crew.
You guys, listeners, you don't even understand how excited the girls were to see Uncle Cal.
They exploded.
They exploded.
So much dog hair everywhere.
It was everywhere. We started a little bit late because we had to clean up a lot of fur. So they're okay. Like, they explode all the time. Fine. But
In case it's your first time tuning in, Kelly is one of the OG crew here, but he has been convalescing for a while now.
I've been in traction.
We had him on via FaceTime, but he's finally physically back in the studio where the magic happens.
Happy to be here. Yes. I drove here in a car that I propelled with my own foot power.
Just like Fred Flintstone.
I don't mean like Fred Flintstone. I was just about to say, not like Fred Flintstone.
Your foot just healed, and now you're running in that Flintstone car again.
I know, with
going
no shoes on.
Brontosaurus burgers.
Yeah. You can't be trusted.
They are keto.
Yeah, that's true. Our theme this month, Crazy for You.
Crazy.
You can thank Andy for coming up with these theme titles.
They're not good, but they're puns at least.
Crazy for You. It's films about mass hysteria. We're kicking things off with the
ass hysteria.
Ass hysteria. Whoops. We're kicking things off with the 2008. This movie's 11 years old and it feels like it just came out.
Yeah.
Pontypool. Mm-hmm. Kelly Cumbridge's cat is missing.
Mm-hmm.
But it's okay because he has five more of them.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
T. Sue Mahatty. So great.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Great.
And,
great face.
Great face. Great voice.
Good hat.
Good hat.
Thanks.
His head wears that hat well.
Yeah.
I could never wear a hat like that.
You got the poor man's Malin Ackerman. I thought for half the movie that the intern was Malin Ackerman.
I don't see that as much.
I don't either.
Mm. Look at her again.
She reminds me more of the house bunny.
Oh, Anna Faris.
Anna Faris before the plastic surgery.
Yeah.
And the blonde hair.
Well, she could...
like Scary Movie era.
May era Anna Faris.
Oh, she was in May, wasn't she?
Yeah.
Huh. So before...
Oh, you mean... The series Scary Movie. I thought you meant when she was doing scary movies, like actual scary movies.
No, I meant Scary Movie, Scary Movie.
I forgot she was in that.
May 2008.
Scary Movie, Scary Movie. Send a Fandango. Anyways, also we'll be talking about The Wrath. Amy will be covering that for Straight to Video Russian Roulette.
It's just all the things I'm mad about. You know, it really grinds my gears.
The new segment, The Wrath, where she comes back as a Korean ghost.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, yellow face.
It's
can't do that.
I'm gonna appropriate like.
I thought that was a movie about Charlie Sheen in a car, and it's like futuristic.
That's just when there's the typo.
Yeah.
You end up with that.
I don't get it.
The Wraith.
Oh, okay. I've never seen
it. I try to do something.
It's a deep cut.
Sorry.
Yeah. So Patreon, patreon.com/NOTLP. We have the shirts. We have the pens.
We
have the talent.
We have to have the time and the will
we need to get them out of this house. Out to you.
Yes.
So also, we have a milestone to announce. We've hit 100 patrons.
100.
It feels amazing. Yeah,
let's keep it that way.
You're all going to get 100 bars, 100 grand bars. I'm just kidding. We're not doing that.
You're going to get 100 bars of gold press latinum.
Not
100
strips.
Bars?
Yeah.
Bars.
Not strips. Slithers. What are all the breakdowns?
I don't remember.
Okay.
It's definitely strips. Bars. Let's nerd it up, yo.
Well, strip bars. Rule of acquisition number 315.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Send your patron Latinum.
Mm-hmm.
You got to have that Latinum.
Seriously, though, it does feel awesome. Thank you so much for your support with your monies. That's wonderful. And then just, you know, people who don't send us their monies, you're good, too.
Yeah, your earship.
Uh-huh.
Your listenership is valuable and cherished.
We do. We appreciate you.
Cherished.
Loving cop, we accept a one of us. We accept a one of us.
Gooba gobble, gooba gobble.
We accept her, we accept her.
Gooba gobble, gooba gobble.
One of us, one of us.
That's what
Welcome
our
to origins.
Yeah.
Good Lord, Freddie.
That's what our Discord server sounds like. Mm-hmm.
It's good you did that. I was about to make a cherish is the word I'd use to describe joke.
Yeah. I would make a Madonna joke.
I was trying to think of the lyric when he started that. So on Patreon, there's a.
It's like we still got to make the joke without making the joke. It's because we're professionals and we know how to structure things.
We do this for a living. We did a Night of the Comic.
Yeah.
Freddie had me and Andy on.
Oh boy.
Yeah. We talked about Martin Scorsese's controversial comments about Marvel.
His unbelievable comments.
And then
he's canceled.
He followed it up with an op-ed he wrote for the New York Times. And we talked about that.
And then we talked about the first episode of the Watchmen series on HBO.
Yeah. So check that out. Anybody can access that. Patreon.com/NOTLP. That's the last thing we posted, I believe.
And an origin.
We haven't posted 69 yet. That'll go out today.
69.
Don't leave me hanging.
Andy's leaving his hand up.
Yeah, boy.
Because he's so mature.
I would have seen it faster if it was upside down because of the number.
Yeah.
Well, you can listen to it and we'll owe you one. Episode 68. You know what I mean?
So that'll be out soon. 69.
Or an episode 6.9. That's a 69 interrupted by a period.
Mm-hmm. Oh no.
I feel like we've made all these same jokes probably in the original episode.
No, actually, because I listened to that one. I don't remember hearing that.
Oh, okay. Well, then they're fresh.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
100% certified.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Fresh.
Patreon. We had this great viewing party.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember. We probably mentioned this on the last
one.
We
did.
But that is so much damn fun.
It was fun.
Wasn't that a good time, Kelly?
It was a good time.
We get together and draw dicks on the screen.
Yeah. So the last Thursday of...
Who drew the dicks? Everybody drew the dicks.
We're American Vandals.
Yep.
It's normally the last Thursday of every month, but this month, because the last Thursday is Thanksgiving...
Is that true? I thought it was earlier. I don't know things. All right. Anyway, go on.
Well, now you got me questioning myself.
Do you have a calendar, Amy?
How weird would it be if Thanksgiving and Halloween both fell on the last Thursday this year?
I know.
Does that mean something?
Yeah.
That means that all the turkeys are going to come to life.
Oh, shit.
On our dining room tables.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to eat us with those big open butthole things they have that are full of stuffing.
I don't have any.
All the stuffing's going to be ejected. And then there's going to be all these teeth. in there.
In the butt?
In the butt.
In the turkey butt.
In the turkey butt, in the open cavity.
You're right. It is the last Thursday. It's so, Thanksgiving.
You handled that really well.
You mean my stalling?
Yeah.
Thank you.
That was good.
So we'll be doing it the third, well, the second to last Thursday of November. Whatever date that is, the
20th. Hold on, hold on. Don't say things you don't know.
I think it's the 21st.
Don't say things you can't take back.
If you say that date.
So that's very soon.
He is correct. It is November 21st, 11/21, 2019 at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Right. And we just go to Discord. All you need to know is get on the Discord server at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and then there will be a link there.
There will be further instructions.
And we like to leave it mysterious now.
But you have to be a patron to join us.
And then we will all be together and we can draw decks.
There are seven clues. You have to gather them and put them together.
That's right.
And make the puzzle.
If you can't make the puzzle, you don't deserve to be a part of the viewing
If you
party.
Can't make the puzzle, you can't eat your pudding.
Yeah.
If you can't.
So what's everybody having for Thanksgiving?
Probably steak. Steaksgiving.
Yeah.
That's true. You guys
have a tradition.
That.
Yeah.
You know what always blows my mind? People have seafood.
What? Who?
A lot of people in New England, they have seafood for Thanksgiving.
That sounds delicious.
No.
Well, you know, the noble Native Americans probably had seafood, as they say in internet. I don't know if that's actually really true or not, but you hear it that they probably
have
eat lobster
on the internet?
For Thanksgiving.
Internet?
Lobster.
Okay, boomer. See, that's the new meme.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, boomer. But you're not a boomer.
I'm
but
not.
It was,
I'm
I felt not. I felt like I should... demonstrate some knowledge of things happening on the internet.
Every time they say that, I think of our 80s quarterback from the Bengals,
Boomer Esiason,
and it's really bugging me.
NFL announcer, former quarterback Boomer Esiason.
I think of the AFV episode where the little boy tried to convince everyone that a bird shit in his pants.
And he said
he called it a boomer?
He called his pants as boomers.
Yeah.
He goes, a bird went in my pants and it pooped in my pants.
Did he really poop in his pants?
Yeah, he tried to blame it on a bird.
He was lying.
So anyway, sorry, Kelly.
I was just going to say that wasn't a good strategy.
No.
A bird even get in there?
Kids are sometimes terrible liars.
He walks around opening his pants.
Around birds.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, try harder.
Yeah.
A bird pooped in your pants?
Yeah.
Yeah.
A bit better to say that one of your brothers or sisters dumped poop down the back of your pants to frame you.
As the only parent here, Kelly, what's the stupidest lie one of your kids ever told you? You can think about it and tell us on the other side if you want. You want to think about it?
I'll try to.
Okay.
Oh, wait. Are we done bantering? Because
unless
didn't know
there's
that
something
I
you
want
to add. Go ahead.
Oh, go ahead.
I'm sorry.
I don't know what's going on, everybody. I just feel like knowing more about you. Okay. Never mind then.
Oh, no. You know. Good.
I don't have anything.
I'm still fighting this cough.
Okay, guys. I guess.
Was there something else? We're going to try the Popeye's chicken sandwich because Amy's scared to go, but Andy's going to brave it, and I'm going to buy him chicken sandwich for
it. Are you afraid you're going to get shot or something?
Yeah, Amy's terrified.
Now, two people have died already.
Okay. Yeah. My real reason for not wanting to have to go through the Popeye's drive-thru is, one, it just seems like a hassle where it's located.
Well, it's far
in
from
our neighborhood.
Here. It's all the way on the other side.
Yeah. Two... Yeah, the news reports make it sound insane. Three, I'm worried they're going to be out of it anyway, and then I'm going to have to improvise, and I don't like to do that at a drive-thru.
Oh.
And Amy, four, I just don't want to fuck with it.
It's Sunday. Chick-fil-A is closed. So that's why we're getting Popeyes.
Wendy's has the superior chicken sandwich. I'm at.
I'm going to have to go ahead and disagree with you on that.
I'm sorry?
What's your favorite chicken sandwich?
It's Burger King.
I know it's the original one from Burger King besides that one.
But I can tell you that the Wendy's chicken sandwich is not the best one.
But what is?
But you have to tell me why.
Say which is.
You can't just say that.
I won't.
You won't.
There
you want to elaborate?
Okay, so next week.
No, I won't. I'll make you.
Yes, thank you so much. This is some bullshit.
Is it Arby's?
No.
They actually do have a decent chicken sandwich.
If you can eat breaded chicken, their chicken bacon ranch is a pretty good sandwich.
Who else has chicken sandwiches?
If you can eat breaded chicken.
Well,
don't be on keto.
Let me throw this in the mix. So next weekend we're going to have to delay the show cuz we're going to go to Dollywood. Me, Freddie, Mike and Andy. Like we do every Christmas season when they open it up, and I need Jesus in my soul to properly celebrate
the
Christmas.
Reason for the season, Amy.
We need a hard candy Christmas.
Yeah. So there's a like little food truck stand in the park in Dollywood.
They have a great fried chicken stand. You haven't had it.
I had a bite of it.
Oh, you had a bite of it. It was like one of those things where I hadn't eaten, and you know, you ever have like a lot of fun, you forget to eat.
He gets angry.
And then you're like, oh shit.
Yeah, I do.
My only options for food are all gating up. They're closing.
I do know that feeling.
And there was this food truck in Dollywood that has a chicken sandwich that was the best fried chicken sandwich I've ever had. And I'm a fat man.
I'll tell you.
I've had a lot of fried chicken sandwiches.
A good fried chicken sandwich hard to come by. I'll tell you who does have a good one.
Oh, finally.
BJ's.
I've never had that.
Their Nashville hot chicken, fried chicken sandwich.
Blowjobs?
Is that the place we went to in Indy?
No, it's here.
There's one here now, right?
Tri-County.
Well, it's been
the same
here.
Thing, right?
We went here.
Oh, we did?
Yeah.
He's confusing. It was at a Horror Hound that we went, but it was the one in Cincinnati.
It's like a chain. It's kind of like a Fridays type thing,
but it's
right?
way better than Fridays.
Oh, yeah. It's definitely better than
Fridays. It's surprisingly good. It looks like it's going to be garbage like a Fridays, and the food is really good.
Yeah, the food is good.
Their Nashville hot fried chicken sandwich is like, mwah.
All right, listeners, I'm glad we had this conversation.
Me too. We need to know.
And please write in with your favorite.
In this time of fake news, we need facts.
But only if you agree with me that Wendy's has the best.
Okay. Anything else?
It doesn't.
I don't know.
Do you guys want to talk about like your favorite place to get a cup of pudding? Because nobody makes it anymore. Like even KFC got rid of the parfaits.
You know, I like to get my pudding at Rudy's.
Rudy's Pudding Hut. All right, we'll be back.
Hello, boys and girls. It's time for Straight to Video Russian Roulette.
This trailer is in Korean. All you need to know is scary sounds. There are scary sounds. And there is this also has Korean subtitles on it, this trailer.
What is this?
The Wrath. All you need to know, people in period costumes. Scary sounds.
Doors. There's doors.
There are scary sounds. There are doors. There's ghosts. There's swords.
Swords.
There's doors and swords.
There's spookiness.
Somebody dropped some change. There's an exorcist. There's people hanging in the woods. Scary sounds. And then the title, The Wrath.
Well, that seems like a movie that's full of scary sounds.
Oh, there's an extra scare at the end, as Piyush. You have to do that. You have to do the bonus scare at the end now with any horror trailer.
So Freddie likes to play the trailers now before we start segment.
That was good one.
He did not realize that.
No, I knew. I knew it was. I was banking on our listeners being fluent in Korean.
Okay.
And you knew.
But just in case you aren't fluent in Korean like we are, you get that. We say there are scary sounds.
Yeah.
So you know there are scary sounds.
All right. The Wrath takes place in a...
The Mark McWrath.
Mm-hmm.
I like that.
Thank you.
Zawo?
That was a sneak shot. Like, people didn't even realize that went in the basket. They're like, did he make the shot or not? Yeah. I did.
I laugh at that joke every morning.
Oh, plused it, see?
Yeah, every morning I laugh at that
That's
joke.
That's the extra point.
All right, you guys. So, The Wrath. It is a movie set in a long ago time in the Korean history.
Mm-hmm.
I forget the name, like, how to pronounce it. I wouldn't know.
Yeah.
Are you talking about like
Joseon
the era?
Joseon Kingdom or something?
Ancient Korea?
Sure. It is a time period that, according to Wikipedia, was like 1397 to 18 something.
Feudal Korea.
Feudal, yes. So you're on a, you got your, what I would liken to a sort of plantation sort of setup. It's a, and there's many servants, and then there's
mint juleps,
and they're just fanning themselves, and there's fainting couches.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? I love it when Asians have Southern accents.
I do too.
It's pretty rare, mm-hmm. but it's really kind of it's charming.
Does your aunt have a Southern accent?
No, she wasn't born in South Carolina. Right, but you
acquire when you're in the South long enough. I feel like you acquire some of it
after like 3 or 4 weeks. I think you come back with that, and you'll never get rid of it.
Or if you're Madonna,
mm-hmm.
you just acquire an mm-hmm. English accent.
Well, she's an accent sponge.
Yeah, so. She's something.
It's part of her disorder.
I want to see her move to Minnesota.
Crazy for you, eh?
Hey, I really cherish you, huh?
Oh, hello there, Madonna.
Oh, Madonna. Oh, you betcha. I'm on a holiday.
I was at the pick and save. I ran into, you never guess who? Madonna.
Madonna.
Madonna was picking up some herring for the church picnic.
Oh, yeah. Fair. Wow.
Well, when she goes, she really goes in. She went to the pick and save. I would not suspect her to go there.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
Well, she likes everything authentic.
Yeah. Her Lord is just shopping down the aisle.
We've got a new, a young girl being brought to this place, mm-hmm. to this home.
It is beautiful, by the way, wherever they filmed this. It's
gorgeous. And she is to be the wife of one of the sons of this house, but it turns out this house has been cursed.
Oh.
And all the sons are dying, being killed, and other people are kind of being killed by a ghost. There's an evil ghost. And the girl being brought there, she is in some way kind of unlocks this like secret, and things just start happening. I don't know. It didn't make a,
there was some sort of possession element, right?
Then there was possession. Then there was an evil stepmother and a crazy dad.
It had a fairy tale vibe to a lot of it.
It was, and then there was an exorcist who I said he was the Korean Legolas. Like he straight up looked like
Orlando Bloom.
Yes.
Well, he's Legolas in particular.
Legolas, the hair, the ears, the everything. It wasn't just
Orlando Bloom. He was an elf.
Yeah.
The movie. The
Korean Sexorcist.
It was fun at first, or not fun, but just kind of okay and like soothing and interesting to watch.
It was too soothing.
Yeah, we had to
stop. We had to be like nap and then finish.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes sex is like that. You're gonna stop halfway through. Yeah. Nap and then finish.
And then finish.
What?
What? Okay.
Oh, what?
Good for you. So I didn't.
Mm-hmm.
Like it
sounds like it didn't,
but did you?
It didn't.
So it sounds like nothing happened.
No scary sounds did.
Yeah, and then there was some scary stuff.
Was there any wrath?
There was a great moment with what the fat spirit eating whatever.
So the girl that has been brought there, this orphan girl, had apparently some sort of ability. Somebody had branded. She had a symbol, which is a swastika, branded on her that protected her from ghosts or made ghosts appear to her.
Something.
I don't know. I couldn't even tell you really how it ended, other than I think it didn't. It still happened. No.
Yeah.
She was pregnant with the one son, and then he was killed, and then the thing.
It was a lot.
So let me sum up. Yeah. Right. Let me ask you if this is correct. There were ghosts.
Mm-hmm.
There were sons.
Yes.
There was a girl.
There were demons.
There were demons. There was a swastika.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
There was wrath.
Mm-hmm.
There was a sword.
There was a sword. There was an exorcist.
There was a knife with blood on it. Okay. That was magical.
Sure.
Well, yeah, then that's about right.
There was a pile of rocks.
I'd say that's a movie.
There was an explosion.
They did it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was fun.
I thought it was a competently made movie. I'm just not sure I understood.
It was a beautiful movie. I mean, like, if you just wanted to sit and watch a really pretty movie.
Yeah.
Had a lot of really pretty moments.
I mean, sometimes I'll just sit and watch the things on my TV that show the pretty scenes.
Yeah, it's like you could watch this with the sound off.
Yeah. I'll watch a pretty screensaver. Yeah.
Well, it's got subtitles, so.
I mean, I'm sure it's.
It's got fat ghosts.
Yeah, the fat ghost is my favorite part.
I think there was, it just didn't kind of coalesce enough, the story. But then I wonder if part of that is because maybe I don't understand some of the history behind, or maybe the Korean cultural ways around ghosts. I just wasn't quite fucking sure what happened at the end. But it doesn't matter.
You need to check your white privilege.
I guess I do.
Your white ghost privilege.
It just didn't quite do much. You know what I mean? But well made.
It was a dull movie.
It was a little dull.
What it boils down to.
The thing where these poor women, like all the daughters-in-laws of the dead sons, are kind of like the evil. It was very much like a Cinderella, like evil stepsisters, evil stepmother.
Yeah.
And then the new girl who shows up, but
I love that show.
It's Jess. Yeah.
Zoe showed up.
Like they're
Zoe Deschanel. She's
why
a delight.
Why did you try that?
Because it's the Asian
Doe Deschanel.
Oh, she's Zoe. She's fat.
It's fat ghost Doe.
Why are you doing this?
I can't.
Okay, so
I'm not.
The costumes were beautiful, but the whole time I'm just thinking about how impractical, like these women, what they had to wear, and like they had to wear these like gown things and these big
slingshot bathing suits.
They were all wearing Borat bathing suits, and I was like, "It's cold. It's snowing."
I feel like,
but they had to sleep in them too.
Oh, oof!
But like, they had a white one for sleeping.
That's a lot of chafing. Mm.
It just seemed uncomfortable.
It was better than like bodices and stuff, though, and girdles and what have you.
True.
Girdle.
Like at least it looked. It was.
You
silk.
Could have a big old fupa under there, and it no one wouldn't would matter.
Secret fupa.
Feudal Spanx.
I've got
that's
some.
That's a subtitle.
I've
of this
got
movie.
Some futile Spanx in there too. They don't do much.
Gotcha, Amy.
I missed the word fupa.
Fupa.
Yeah.
Remember when that first came out a couple years, like in the. Late 2000s.
I remember that.
I actually, I feel released. Like I heard that in the late 90s.
Did you?
Yeah. Our friend was introduced to that in the late 90s.
Our friend Carrie McGeorge taught me that word.
My friend Dave taught me that word.
Like, everyone remembers where they were when they learned the word fupa.
I don't know that I remember who taught me that word.
Yeah. It's like when the towers came down. It's essentially the
I
same thing.
I learned it on 9/11, actually.
Yeah, on 9/11. Yeah. I remember, and they were like, hey, come here. You guys see this chick's fupa. And you're like, hold on. Something's on the news.
It was a very tragic but happy day for me.
When Kennedy was assassinated.
I was watching the news, and the news was about fupas, and then they broke to...
Sorry to interrupt.
I thought it was a movie at first, and then it turned out there was actual fupas crashing into buildings, and... Oh, I was like, these ladies gotta get this under control.
They hijacked a fupa.
You can't hijack a fupa.
Oh, yes, you can.
Straight hijack.
Don't think I haven't done it.
Yeah. That's like when Mr. Mix-a-Lot pulls up quick so to get many fupas.
You can't do that anymore. Me too happened, Kelly.
No, with consent.
Hijacking is not consent.
It's role play.
Oh, okay. All right. That's fine.
Oh, boy.
You know, the wrath is whatever.
Oh, I can hear our Patreon numbers dropping right now.
I used to have little flags. Never mind.
I just love Freddy's like, hey, you can see this chick's poopa. Oh, shit. What's happening on the news? What? I'm just thinking of that moment.
Amy was just appreciating your joke.
Yeah.
And then we could never think of the two separately.
Let's renew
again.
Our vows.
Okay.
Because of that moment.
All right.
You deserve it.
Let's do it.
All right. It's a recommend in that if you need something pretty to look at.
Like a fupa.
And you don't have a screensaver.
Yeah.
Fupas can be beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
So we're going to pull out the old Jack in the Box.
Pull that Jack in the Box out. Jack it.
You want to see it?
Yeah.
All right.
It's pretty big.
Oh, it's springy.
We're going to start with Mike, who isn't here. And he's up first. Let's see if he loses or wins. He's clear. He's clear. We're still getting used to our new setup.
We just bought this Jack in the Box. It's it's digital.
It's a all weird right, let's Jack crank it for Kelly.
Crank it.
Christmas.
Crank it for me.
Uh-oh. There's a drum roll there, Kelly. That must mean something.
Oh, Kelly, I got a boner.
Congratulations. Yeah. You came back and you got jacked.
I got jacked.
Don't congratulate him. Because you're going to be mad. But
oh.
Kelly, you know my mother.
I do. Happy birthday.
Happy
is that
birthday.
Okay for
happy
to
birthday,
say?
Birthday, yes, of course. Marielle.
Happy birthday, Marielle.
Don't say her age.
Love you. I don't know her age. But like 40, 41?
Yeah.
What's my age again?
I would love to hear that song as sang by a robot.
Yeah.
This is sort
What's
of
my age again?
This is sort of her pick. This she didn't really pick it, but she was telling me about this movie and it sounded bonkers. Mm-hmm. And I don't even know why she watched it.
Mm-hmm.
But this is my mother's pick. Thank you, mother. It's called The Toy Box.
I'm the one getting a present on my mom's birthday.
And it can be viewed on Hulu.
Hulu.
And it is, an estranged family take a trip to the desert in their used RV, but become stranded.
How are they estranged if they're taking a trip?
Well, I don't know.
They're trying to reconnect.
Oh, yeah.
They become stranded and isolated in the scorching terrain. They soon learn their RV holds terrible, haunting secrets, and it starts killing them off. One by one.
The RV?
Also known as the Foopening.
Mom said this starred Denise Richards.
That's what she claims.
And somebody else that was ridiculous. Do you remember, Freddie?
I don't know why I want to go straight to Casper Van Dien, probably because of Starship Troopers.
Probably. But they feel like they should always...
Oh, Misha Barton.
Misha Barton, that's right.
That's about right.
Misha Barton. Misha Barton.
My mom has this thing when she retires, she really wants to buy an RV and travel the world.
With Misha Barton.
Well, the country. With Misha Barton and Denise Richards.
Goals.
She could probably swing that.
Squad goals.
Misha's not working very much.
That would be a great reality series in like 2008. Your mom, Misha Barton, and Denise Richards traveling in an RV across the country, and they just film it.
Yeah,
mom and
they could call it RV Mom.
So I think this is why my mom watched
RV
this movie.
Mom. RV MTV's Mom. RV Mom.
Yep.
But I love my mother. I think she's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
She's not a great driver. I don't think she should have an RV. Mom, I've told you this to your face. Okay, anyway, happy birthday, Mom.
Happy birthday.
Yeah. Kelly,
I'm going to review this movie for you.
You're going to review it.
It's going to be a belated birthday present.
Yars. Mm-hmm. All right.
All right.
Okay.
What's it called again? The Foopening?
The Foopening.
The Foopening.
I really can't remember the title.
The Toy Box.
The Toy Box, thank you.
I'll text it to you.
All right. We'll be right back.
What you are hearing is an actual radio broadcast. It is the only recording of the event.
Roadblocks preventing people from leaving and entering the area.
Everybody is under quarantine.
Clutch! Clutch!
We still do not have an official version of these events, and it's very difficult at this moment to get a fix on what has happened.
They cut into our signal.
Ken?
And their eyes. He's looking at me.
For your safety, please avoid contact with family members and restrain from the following. All terms of endearment. For greater safety, do not translate this message. Not translate. Just listen to me.
What up?
Pontypool.
Oh my goodness.
Pantypool.
Pantypool. A pool of panties.
This is a
my
base.
Dream come true.
It's like Scrooge McDuck's Money Vault.
Mm-hmm.
Only you can swim through.
That's
Pontypool
right.
is based on the novel Pontypool Changes Everything by Tony Burgess.
Who wrote this?
Has anybody read?
No.
No, me neither. They originally did this also as a radio drama through BBC, I think, Canada. And then the movie starring Stephen McCaddy as Grant Mazzie, kind of a Don Imus type of character. His producer at his new job in this tiny town, Pontypool, Ontario, is Sydney Breyer, who played by Stephen McCaddy's real life wife, Lisa Hool, something like that.
Yeah.
then they have a war vet who came back, who's working as a production assistant on the show, named Laurel Ann Drummond.
It's not played by Melan Ackerman or Anna Faris.
Nope. It's Georgina Riley. Sorry, can't speak. And then you have a doctor character that turns up later, played by Hrant Alianak.
Yeah.
So
huge star here in the States.
We, I think we might have
Dr. Mendez
at one time, many, many years ago, reviewed this.
We definitely covered this
when it came out back in 2008.
I don't remember particularly liking it at the time or thinking it was okay. I really enjoyed it this time.
This, I feel like I had a very similar experience. Except when I watched it the first time, I did like it, but I only liked it.
Yeah.
I was like, that was good. But I feel like other movies did this better. Mm-hmm. And then this time I watched it, I was a little altered in my perception, but it scared me so bad this time. And it was really, it felt like way more intense. It felt like a way better movie. So I had the same kind of experience.
Well, I had the same experience as you guys. I don't think I liked it back then, but I liked it a lot better now, but I still don't get it.
Yeah,
I didn't get it back then. I don't get it now.
It's a real thinker, y'all.
I don't think it needs to be thought of. It's more about the
let it go.
What's mm-hmm. happening than the actual virus. But it still bugged me a little bit.
Yeah. He's like a radio guy who's clearly been fired for being an asshole in some other bigger market.
Mm-hmm. Kind of does what he wants to do.
Yeah. He's gone rogue.
He takes no prisoners.
Yeah.
That's his approach. Take no prisoners.
And he's got a great voice, but it's a snowy, cold, miserable day.
Yeah. In the little town of Pontypool.
Yeah.
In Ontario.
Pontypool. And he's driving to work. He's arguing with his agent because he started this new job, which is not great. Fires his agent. And then he has an encounter outside work with a strange lady who's speaking gibberish like Nell. Mm-hmm. And, she seems to be in a panic. He doesn't know what to do. She backs away and then he goes to work. And then his whole question, this sparks this idea of when do you call 911?
Yeah.
Like, what is your criteria of what's really an emergency?
It's probably good he didn't stop to call 911.
Yeah.
Right. And And it's an example of how this character will take the plan show and railroad it into what he wants to talk about.
Yeah.
And that's the theme in the beginning is like, they're supposed to be doing school closings, your basic stuff. It's like a small community kind of radio station.
Just morning news bullshit, you know, like any morning news show, like cute stuff, human interest stories, you know.
The Lawrence of Arabia cast.
The weather.
Ooh.
The brown face.
The brown face.
Yeah.
Yeah. There was this.
Well, apparently they like to do that up in Canada. Justin Trudeau.
Oh, topical.
I know, right? You like that?
Nazim Pedrad!
Holy shit.
I don't know why I just felt, when I said topical, I felt like Don Pardo.
Although now that's Daryl Hammond, right?
Yeah.
Because
Don Pardo passed
Daryl
away.
Daryl Hammond!
Melissa Villasenor!
With Melissa Bay! Vanessa Bear. I said Melissa. Yeah. Melissa Bear, she's new.
So it was Lawrence and the Arabians come in as this a cappella group.
But things are starting to trickle in.
Here's the thing. They were on radio, but they're still in brown face.
Yeah, why did they come dressed up?
I didn't get it.
Because it was a big deal to them to be there and they wanted to put on a show.
Community theater people.
And they just really love brown face.
Weird reports are starting to come in, but things aren't really scary enough. Like, for the show to not go on.
Right.
They're kind of like, let's just keep going.
It seems like there's a riot going on somewhere in town. And they don't know what it's about.
And the Sunshine Chopper, Ken Leone, who's really just a guy in a car playing helicopter noises. Turns out he's also a pedophile.
That was funny.
That was later.
Not pedophilia is not funny, but the way Ken Loney presented.
Well, technically, she doesn't know if he's a pedophile. Right. He just seems like one.
Yeah, she goes, we just don't let him near our kids.
So he's kind of reporting on this weird riot because he's out and about in the town. And like hundreds of people are like destroying this building.
It's Dr. Mendez's office. Yeah. They're busting out of it.
And they're chanting, and then he gets chased, and just these strange little moments are happening, like when the cast of Lawrence of Arabia are there after they're done singing their dumb song.
And the girl, the young girl who's part of the group, she starts having the fit that the woman that Grant Mazzy met outside was having.
It's almost like you can't remember a word.
So you start repeating.
Part of what scared me a lot in this, I will sometimes nowadays have these weird repetitive dream. Like when I wake up, sometimes I have like a phrase will like, I'm sure a lot of people experience this. I'm sure it's very common where it'll just keep repeating, or like a snippet or a phrase or a word will just keep repeating in over and over throughout like the dream until I wake up. And I felt like I could kind of understand, like, it was like these people couldn't think of anything else other than that. Like that word just wouldn't, it became all they could say or think. And it just like crowded out all other thought. And so I could almost kind of like wrap my head around like, well, how horrible would it be? You're trying to say anything else and all you can think is this one word or this one phrase. It's pretty scary.
Yeah. And you know, they
it's like when Monty Burns got shot and all he could say was Homer Simpson.
I thought you were going to talk about the ketchup thing.
Ketchup. It's kind of the same thing. Yeah.
Yeah. So it keeps going on. The BBC calls in because apparently the town is becoming big news.
It's ground zero, right?
Yeah.
And it gets to the point where Grant Mazzy's the only person who is really broadcasting anymore.
Yeah. The town is quarantined and the doctor kind of stumbles into the studio
to give us a little window. Exposition. Yeah.
Yeah.
He came in through the bathroom window.
He's like, and he starts kind of talking about this virus. Meanwhile, Laurel Ann, the intern is
Laurel Ann. Poor Laurel Ann.
She's down with it.
Yeah.
She's a war hero. She deserved better than what happened to her.
And they hide themselves in the sound booth because the doctor's like, she can't hear us. So is he worried that she's going, start eating you.
She said that's how they track their new victims sound.
He said she doesn't even know it yet, but she's hunting us.
Yeah.
Right. And it's something about chewing the other person's mouth off or something, like when that's like the end game, I guess.
Is it?
I don't know. The virus.
I didn't hear that part.
Yeah. I didn't hear that either. Well,
that might've been something I read. In Pontypool Weekly.
But I know that, I mean, they talked about how it looked like they were like piranhas, like when they pulled somebody down, they were all just like chewing on them and biting them.
So
it was real scary.
They're hiding and the doctor's kind of talking out loud, thinking about, you know, going through what he thinks is happening, and she can't hear them. So the virus is not able to pass itself on, because that's what viruses want to do. They replicate and they want to move on to something else.
It would have been great if she did like one of those rock show things where she's like, I can't hear you.
It would have been. I wish that had happened.
And missed opportunity.
And at the same time, kind of Grant and Sydney aren't really sure if they believe what's happening or they're just not sure what's going on. But then Laurel Ann starts to just go berserk and banging on the glass.
On the studio,
slams herself into the wall until she's
over and over
again. Dead. Then she pukes big.
She explodes.
Well, that's because of the virus, though. Yeah, it basically, if it can't move on, it seems to like expel everything, maybe even your organs through your
organs.
Out your mouth hole. And it just...
It was upsetting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then... You sort of see the doctors getting it because he keeps saying the word breathe.
What's great about it's what they weird. Do, I think they almost make you wonder if they're all getting it at different points, because you'll see them kind of like thinking, like looking around, looking confused. And as they're talking and saying things weird, like you're never quite sure if anyone's coming down with it until they do start repeating the same phrase over and over again.
And there's foreshadowing. If you've seen the film more than once, you catch in the beginning that Grant Mazzy is repeating words in his broadcast right from the get go.
Right.
And then didn't notice that. Yeah. He does it a couple of times. And then, when Dr. Mendez comes in, they think they've cracked the code that it's only English.
Yeah.
So they all start communicating in French, thinking that will stop the spread.
And then something about terms. So they hear this, their broadcast is interrupted by, I would think, the military in a French phrasing.
Yeah.
Basically,
I love this moment.
Yeah, it's great.
What was the warning message?
The warning message basically was saying like how everything spread, but it ended with the thing it should have began with, which is do not translate this message.
That was like both really funny and really like, oh no. Yeah,
that was a great moment.
Yeah.
Because they were saying basically don't talk to anybody you know or love.
Yeah.
And don't say terms of endearment. Why?
Avoid rhetorical conversations.
Yeah. Like I don't.
Right.
Well, because those are the keywords.
Right. And I think that's what kicks everything off in this, in the studio is him talking about the missing cat, because the cat's name is Honey.
Yeah, as soon as you hear him saying Honey, the missing cat, like right. It just keeps popping up.
So he was the one that started off the whole thing, basically?
No, it was already in motion.
Okay.
Well, then again, because they almost say, when he's driving in, they're playing the recording of him talking about the missing cat.
Yeah.
So he could have been the beginning of it.
Well, certainly it spread it. Like the broadcast definitely spread, because it's the understanding of the word once it enters your brain that unlocks the virus.
How could virus be in a word?
Well, you have to think about it like this. It's sort of like malware, or like, oh, you know, when you receive these, you can get these weirdly worded things, and like certain stuff can set your computer off.
Yeah.
You know, if you just click on a certain thing, it's kind of like that, where it's like whatever, for whatever reason, once you comprehend certain words, it gets into your brain and takes it over like malware and locks you out.
That is a very good analogy. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I mean, I understand what you're saying, but I don't understand how it's transmitted through sound still.
It's make-believe.
I know, but I'm carsing this too much.
Yeah.
Well, but, I think things like that can happen. I mean, I think the comprehension, in your brain is it comprehends like, again, these certain combinations of words. That's what, like, I guess once the chemistry in your brain puts that together, that's what the virus needs to
like break down your brain.
Yeah.
Well, you could be hypnotized into doing things and with words.
Yeah.
See, right? Thinking about this movie too much, it will make me go crazy.
Yeah. Oh, or like, people have been like,
that was me being afraid of you.
Yeah, it was great. I really felt it.
Yeah.
Like brainwashing, like, or something.
Brainwashing, yeah. Or you fall down, hit your head on a rock, and now you can speak French when you never spoke French ever in your life, and now you can do that.
Yeah.
Okay, that's weird.
This virus, it makes people kill people, right?
Yes.
On top of...
Yeah.
How is it? Because you don't want to kill the people, you just want to spread it, right? The virus.
The weird thing about viruses is that they will kill you, but they want to
spread. That's the main point of viruses, right?
Well, a lot of them just use up resources, and they have to go. We're like, how that's humanity is the virus of the planet Earth, and we're using it up, and then we need to find another planet to live on.
Or like, when
you know what I mean, man?
Yeah, we are Independence Day.
Mm-hmm. So Ebola, God.
Uh-oh.
Ames
got it.
I got
Uh-oh.
It. Uh-oh. Oh, shit.
Ebola. Oh, Fupa's Ebola. Gone. Fupa's Ebola. Gone. Gone is Fupa. Fupa's gone.
Like, you shit and, like, expel, like, bodily fluids, and that passes it on. So, okay. Or, like, when you sneeze, you're passing on the cold virus. Mm-hmm.
So, is that when she, like, vomited or exploded? Is that his last-ditch effort to spread the virus?
It's not in the blood, though. That's what the doctor said.
No, I think that's just what happens physically. Okay. Like,
yeah,
it doesn't have any more to feed on, I guess, any more words or any more thing, any new message.
This is a bad virus because it doesn't stay in its host very long.
Well, and it's made up. Oh, so Ken Leone, the Sunshine Chopper guy.
And well, we also, not to interrupt you, we also don't know where this came from. So this could be a terrorist act of, you know what I mean? Like,
well, for it to only affect English, that kind of makes sense.
Yeah.
That it would be a non-English speaking.
And they kept talking about like the separatists, terrorists in Ontario.
Yeah.
So Ken is hiding in a silo somewhere, and he's like reporting, he's on the phone talking to them and telling him what he's seeing. And this woman and her son are hunting him in this silo. And then the son like, I guess the mom attacked. I don't know what happened. Anyway, the son, who's a grown man, he's like, listen to this. And he puts the phone out and you can hear a baby sounds. So the last thing he heard that got stuck was a baby talking or making noises. So he's a grown man making baby sounds. That was really creepy. Yes.
It was super creepy. This is one of those movies like The Bay where they get so much out of like audio. I think that those are some of this, the really this, well, this movie in particular, because it's almost all audio, is just conveying like how terrifying and weird this is just through sound. But that moment when, and again, it's almost like everybody's kind of affected, because even when they're describing it, he's describing it to them and they're describing it to each other, he almost sounds crazy. He's like, it's like he ate a baby, there's a little baby inside of his mouth. And I think, like, again, this is something I didn't notice, I don't think, on the first try, but it was like, it was almost like this hysteria has affected everyone to some low level. Yeah. And then but not everyone's quite crossed the meridian into murder.
It gets to the point where the radio station is overrun by a bunch of crazies, and they get this idea, excuse me, to throw their voice, because they have the loudspeaker outside, so they can record a message, and they're thinking about what message, what should they say, and then they realize the message, the doctor realizes it will travel, so let's send an SOS of some way, because, you know, these people inside will hear it, start saying it, and it'll get passed on. So they say Sidney Brier is alive, and they loop it, and so they kind of all start to leave. And then the doctor ends up, like, they leave him behind because they realize he's infected.
But he saves them all. He has a heroic end. Yeah.
He sacrifices himself to save them.
He lures them away. He lures the infected.
So it's just Sydney and Grant, and they're like holed up in this like storeroom, and they're trying to only speak French or not speak at all, because there's still people in the building.
And they're still working on that Glenfiddich.
Mm-hmm. Getting drunk. I hate scotch. I'm just going to say it.
Yeah, but that stuff is good.
Nasty.
It looked good. I like how it comes in that cardboard sleeve.
Andy, you like scotch.
That's the only thing I can drink.
Do you like it?
Yeah, I do.
You drink scotch?
It gives me a nice warm feeling.
Yeah, that's what you missed while you're away. Andy's a full-blown alcoholic. Mm-hmm.
He can drink. So Andy has that allergy where he can get very sick and very grossly red, mm-hmm. and just really gross you out. But he's decided he can just sip on a scotch cocktail, like a scotch and soda, and be okay.
Hmm. Aren't you proud of me?
I am super proud of you. I'm glad you finally made this discovery.
Didn't you finish that whole one at the Halloween party?
He's like a scientist experimenting.
Yeah.
Fupa.
I went through a lot of bad trials.
Oh, yeah.
Eggnog is a no-no.
No.
Eggnog is a no-no.
Well, it's the dairy plus, what was it, rum?
Yeah.
Have you, the director of this, Bruce McDonald, there's a show on Netflix that Amy and I started. We only watched like the first episode, I think, right? Creeped Out, which is like a teeny bopper Twilight Zone kind of thing.
Mm.
It was pretty funny. Like,
it wasn't for me.
Mm-hmm.
But I love his direction style. So he didn't direct like the first episode of that series, but he did some others. I kind of intended to go check him out now.
So Sydney Granter hold up, and she starts to come down with it.
Yeah, it's bad news.
She keeps saying kill, but then Grant has a revelation, an epiphany, if you will. He's like, "Oh, if you don't understand the word, you can't get infected by it. So we have to make you not understand the word you're saying, and we can cure you."
So yep. You have to do like an opposite of the word or something?
No, he said not opposite. Specifically, I don't know, it must have been a dog. Is it bad?
So you just replace.
Ooh, is that one of us or a dog?
Not me.
Wouldn't me.
It's the virus trying to spread.
Jesus Christ, dog.
That's what happens if you don't say the word. It just makes fart smells.
So basically.
It kills you one way or the other.
The cure is to replace the word that you're repeating with something else.
Or the air in the room with a fart. Mm.
So you don't understand it in the way it should be. Like the word kill.
He starts saying kill is kiss.
Kill is kiss.
But
is
I still know that
Fupa's
kiss
gone.
Is now kill, right?
But kiss is not the word.
So kiss means something else totally now, right?
Yeah, he was saying
kill means something else.
Yes.
Yeah. It's and like that whole thing where you see the word blue written in yellow ink.
So if I say, I want to kiss you, that means I want to kill you?
No.
No, what? He's not saying they flip completely.
He's just saying if you
everything
don't,
shifts.
That the word kill has a very definite meaning in the word in the English language. It when you understand that, you can become infected. But if you now think the word kill means kiss, it can infect you because you're not understanding it in the right way.
Yeah.
Duh.
Yeah, so it's kind of like how literally means figuratively, Andy.
Now.
So the band Kiss now kill?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, he's not at all.
I will be infected so easily. I will spread this virus to everybody.
No, Andy, I think you will be actually, immune because you don't understand anything.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So I'm like the guy at the Twilight Zone.
What do any of these words mean?
And then my glasses break.
But then it sort of kind of goes a little off the rails here for me where I'm just, so he cures her.
Yeah.
She's cured. Assuming she was really infected in the first place and yes, not just drunk.
She was.
Yeah, and then they go back. He's like, we're going to cure everybody. I'm going to go and I'm going to fix this by broadcasting.
Yeah.
But then he just starts.
But he just keeps repeating kiss equals kill now, right?
He does a bunch of things. Yeah. He changes a bunch of words. Yeah. Like, I get what he's trying to do. I think if you mean it goes off the rails because it seems like it works overall in the movie, like just for everyone. I don't. Do they portray it as if like what he's doing actually slows the thing down in the town?
No.
Okay.
It just kind of ends, right?
I saw it as like an open-ended ending.
Yeah.
Where like you don't know if he's got the virus too and it's just repeating words over and over again.
The government is bombing. It sounds like Pontypool, yes. And so I think they.
It's like Return.
They hear the countdown. Yeah. I mean, at this point, you know.
They basically die in the bombing or the whatever they are doing. And then there's that weird scene after the credits and then the credits are pretty cool. You start seeing that this is happening now other places, in like isolated spots all over the world.
How would you even know if Donald Trump was infected? Motherfucker sounds like word salad at all times.
He would. That's why he would never be infected. He doesn't understand.
He doesn't understand anything.
Is this going to be me, Donald Trump left?
Yeah.
Shit.
Yeah.
Bigly.
And this is going to be, we're going to make a show out of it. It's going to be Andy and Donald Trump.
Hamburger.
Post-apocalypse.
Hamburger is chocolate cake. Chocolate cake is hamburger.
It's just us trying to explain things to each other.
Coffee.
Covivi is hamburger.
But who's going to watch it for the last people on Earth?
Nobody, as it was intended.
Geez. I think the intent was to make sequels, and I think I want them to do that still if somebody could make that happen.
Well, I think he is working on two more.
I think I might try to hunt down the story because it probably fleshes it out maybe a little bit more.
Yeah.
But you can get it on iBooks bundled with an anthology that the same author wrote.
It's an idea that's been used. This isn't, when you said Tony Bird, you don't mean. Anthony Burgess, like
he's credited as Tony.
Okay, like Clockwork Orange.
No.
Okay,
goodness no.
There's a few things that are kind of like Stephen King's Cell is kind of like this a little bit. Where it's sent through sound and frequencies and stuff like that.
Cerulean Blue on the X-Files.
Oh yeah,
it's definitely a sci-fi concept that's been around before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I dig it. It's very scary.
Kind of like Sutter Kane.
Yeah.
I have only recently, I used to would have told you I don't like sci-fi, except for the X-Files. And that's very light sci-fi. It's like half sci-fi, half horror, half steam milk.
Skinny sci-fi.
A little latte art on top. Mm-hmm. But with my new love and appreciation for Star Trek, I've started reading more sci-fi or putting a little bit more in my life. And so maybe that's another reason why I kind of dug this more now.
Yeah.
That my brain has changed.
It's very Twilight Zone.
Yeah.
I think all this goes back to that group of writers that worked on Twilight Zone, like Charles Beaumont and Bradbury and Rod Serling and all those guys. Mm-hmm. The whole thought of there being things out there that we just don't understand.
Yep.
It's scary, but it's also really exciting.
Yes, it was really exciting. Like I said, the first time I watched it, I liked it. I got how it was creepy and kind of scary, but like, I think at the time, to me, it was sort of this is kind of like a sub 28 Days Later at the time.
Yeah.
This time I was like glued to the thing. Like I was like, oh God. I was like, it was super duper intense.
if you like Pawnee Pool, there's a podcast, a couple of them. That have you heard of Q Code? Mm-mm. It's a production company. They do audio drama. There's one called I think it's called The End of Sleep, where it's a virus where if you fall asleep, you die.
Oh.
And
I'd be dead. I like sleeping.
Right. So would I. And then they did another one called Carrier, which all takes place on a big rig where she's hauling this mysterious cargo and weird stuff starts happening.
A lady?
Cool. Yeah. But I love, what do they call that? Are you okay, Amy?
No.
Do you want a cough drop? I have some. I brought some in here so I wouldn't cough a bunch. Is it called a bottle episode on TV?
Like, yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
I love, radio stations are one of my favorite settings for a story.
There have been a lot of really good, spooky radio station set stories. I agree with you on
that. There's something about, mm-hmm. they're usually an isolated location.
Yep.
They work on skeleton crews. They're putting information, they are the people who are supposed to know what's going on.
It's a great
and
when setting.
They don't, it's extra scary because they're the ones we turn on the radio and the TV to see, to get comfort and understanding.
Right.
And when the source is confused, you're like, okay, we're fucked.
Yep.
At that point.
And also they're the ones that are usually getting information before other people. So if you're set there, like you're going to be able to feed them exposition at sort of kind of however you want, you know, you can withhold it, you can give it, and either way it makes sense.
Yeah.
This is the kind of apocalypse I feel like I could probably live through.
Oof.
I don't want to try any of these apocalypse.
I don't want to try any apocalypti.
Apocalyptus.
I'm just trying to let the universe know what I want, what I don't want from my apocalypses. Yeah.
So what's your contingency plan to avoid this hearing, this ear virus?
Just jam Q-tips in your ears. Just
walk around with AirPods all the time?
Yeah. I do that at work anyway.
Yeah.
What are you going to listen to?
Madonna?
What if she says words that trigger you?
What's something not full of endearments?
I think you should just find like French podcasts and put them on.
Yeah. Yeah. I can do that.
That seems safe.
See, there you go. You guys need me for this.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise you'd be listening to Madonna and murdering all of us in 20 seconds. She'd be like, holiday. You'd be like, holiday, holiday. Holly's on holiday, halls of holidays, and then you'd eat our faces.
No, I would just be a dog barking because Elsa doesn't shut up, and that would have been the last thing I heard. Mm-hmm. But it was a dog endearment because the dog language is infected.
And
when she barks, what she's really saying is, I love you, mommy!
That would be terrible.
Aww. And I'm like, bark, bark,
you guys would be the first to go because your dogs bark a lot.
Oh, no, they're assholes.
Every time somebody walks by or a leaf blows by the window.
Yeah.
Can we talk about that post-ending scene?
Yeah, I didn't get it.
I don't get it. The first time I saw it, I thought maybe they were trying to say, oh, it's them in heaven. Or like, not heaven, but like, this is what, or they went crazy and this is where they are together in their brain. But I didn't get that this time. This time it just felt like a random tacked on, like, eh.
I honestly don't, I don't think it was part of the movie.
Yeah, I don't think it's canon.
Yeah. I think they put it in there for themselves.
Yeah, I think you're right, but I don't know why they would do that.
For fun.
Yeah.
It was just them kind of like that. It's in the booth still, but like stylized, like look very,
It became this noir thing.
Yeah.
Were they in the booth?
I thought so.
I thought they were in a bar.
It looked like they were in a
diner.
Bar. Yeah.
Yeah.
Whatevs.
They were in some kind of diner or a bar and
diners, dive-in, drive-ins.
It was this
diners,
very
drives.
Ding
dong. Guy Fieri. Guy Fieri is bing bong.
Guy Fieri is a real cook. Guy Fieri is a real cook. Okay. Things mean what they don't mean.
Poor Guy Fieri. He gets shit on too much.
I think he's fine.
Like Guy Fieri.
He's like the Nickelback of chefs.
Oh, that's accurate.
But in the sense that they get shit on for no reason.
Not for no reason. For so many good reasons.
It's just his hair.
And his shirts.
And the way he treats people, apparently.
Donkey sauce?
I thought he was supposed to be a nice guy. Is he not a nice guy?
There have been some reports about him being pretty... handsy and
really
and super like kind of homophobic and
Aww. Do we have no more
did
heroes?
Did I ruin Guy Fieri for you guys?
We can't Chick-fil-A.
Tear the Guy Fieri poster
Guy
down.
Guy Fieri. Yeah.
So at work we have a cabinet full of pods for the Keurig.
And they're all Guy Fieri.
Well, one of them is.
They're also spicy.
Guy Fieri's.
It's all donkey sauce flavored juice coffee.
It's all thick.
All American brew or whatever.
Yeah.
So we buy his you're in coffee. America.
Drink American.
I guess.
Guy Fieri.
I prefer the French roast. Oh, wee wee.
I like donut shop. Anyway,
French roast. We have that too. Don't worry.
Italian roast is probably my favorite.
We have a donut shop regular and a donut shop dark roast.
Although I'd like to try that.
Mm-hmm. I love the coffee that we buy, the Don Julio. What is it? Don Pablo's.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Can't get it anymore.
But they just delivered some. So what's the deal with that?
Amazon said they don't have it anymore.
They're lying to us, Amy.
Okay, anyway.
Okay, anyways, hey, anything else? Yeah.
Kill is kiss.
Kill is kiss is kill.
I really enjoyed this movie.
Me too.
What are we doing next time? Do we decide yet? Or do you want to talk about that when we're done?
We'll talk about when we're done.
Okay. I have a possible idea.
Uh-huh.
What is it?
But I don't know if it exists anywhere.
Okay.
Oh, he got the virus.
Did you make it up?
He went crazy.
Is it something he made up?
No. You'll see.
Okay. Well, this is mysterious.
Yeah.
All right, listener. Who knows?
Hmm. And then remember, Emily Intravia is picking our final main attraction. She sent us a couple of options, and we'll let you know what that is next week.
Yeah.
Which one we're doing. Anything else you guys want to talk about?
Good to be back.
Yeah.
I'm so
good, happy. Good to have you back.
Yeah. Now, last time I came back for one show, then my foot exploded again. So I'm sure hoping that today, after I go home, my foot is still intact so I can come back next week.
I don't think you're ever.
Is it jinxed?
If it explodes again, it's us, and I'm sorry.
Yeah.
And I didn't mean it.
Well,
you gotta stop cramming M80s in your shoes.
It's too much fun. It feels good. It tickles. It's the only way I can feel a tickle now because I have no feeling in my feet. So
it's the only way I can make it tickle.
I have to. I set one off in my shoes, one in my pants.
Yeah.
And that's just a Sunday for me.
All right.
Great.
Two in the shoes, one in the pants.
Great.
All right. So we're going to, you know.
It's time to say hi to our friends.
Yeah, that's right. Adam Ingram's cat is missing. What? Signs are posted all over town. Have you seen Amanda James?
No. Not in a while.
We've all seen the posters, but nobody has seen Amanda James the cat.
You should come to
nobody. Horror. Until that Thursday morning when Iona Goodwin swerved her car to miss Amanda James the cat. She drove across a bridge. Well, this bridge, now slightly damaged, is a bit of a local treasure and even has its own fancy name.
Ernie Perez Bridge.
See, Ernie Perez Bridge. Now, Ernie Perez, I mean, Iona Goodwin. That sounds like Brandon Whitehead to me.
Huh?
It does.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
You know that, Do you know that Jeff Lancaster is French for panty pool?
Oh.
And that Jimmy B is also Hungarian for panty slingshot.
I'm installing a Jeff Lancaster and I'm gonna be wearing the other thing.
The whole thing reminds me of something that Norman Mailer said about Emily Intravia and Jeremy Burmeister and Cassie Burmeister getting together and going on a snipe hunt. Snipe, 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 snipe.
Cassie just finished a half marathon, so congratulations.
Yay, congrats.
I heard she also had surgery.
Did you hear that?
Oh.
Surgery. And Tree and Alex McNulty were just hip-hopping, hopscotching through the miserable cold winter with a baseball cap turned upside down for Brandon Boone's change. Change is something that we all want and crave, but sometimes you just end up with a handful of Canadian Looney Tunes.
Oh, loonies and toonies.
And then Bill H. from Newark comes in and says,
Bill F.
That's what I meant. H is F.
H is
F. Comes in with, he's like, I'll take those because I live near Canada and sometimes I can spin them. And it's not as much of a hassle for me.
Here's the thing. If Freddie caught the virus, I don't think we'll ever know.
Nope.
Until his head explodes.
It's then you, Donald Trump, and Freddie.
Blake Heath comes in. He says, I couldn't use those if I tried. I'm too far away from Canada. My bank won't even take them. Same with Mark Watts. They're like, Texas, they look at those things and they're like, bring real money.
You get shot if you try to use loonies and toonies in Texas.
Yeah. And Elise Wallace is still alive.
Yay. Combrink.
Wallace Combrink hyphenated.
Elise Combrink.
Combrink is Wallace.
Still alive.
Wallace is Combrink.
Elise Combrink is still alive.
I'm glad, because she's probably making roast today.
Ooh. In an Instant Pot?
Yes.
So good.
It is so good. Make some horsey sauce. Mm. It's like, it's just like sliced steak.
I just want some straight up horseradish with my pot roast. That Amy's mom brought some when we had pot roast.
Mm-hmm.
So good.
I like to make the horsey sauce.
Do you?
Mm-hmm.
You're a dirty bird.
Mm-hmm.
With real horses.
Yeah.
Only.
Like Catherine the Great.
Yeah. I get them wholesale.
Thank you so much for listening to this word salad.
This was a good word salad today.
Yeah. And good for
you. Yeah, you got your bones healthy and your
teeth.
Your immune system is running on full.
They negate it by putting so much dressing on the word salad. So it's kind of like eating a burger.
You always get asked for the dressing on the side with your word salad.
Mm-hmm.
Turd salad.
Well,
turd salad is turd salad.
Turd is word.
Bird is the word. Word is the bird. Bird is the word.
Oh, you haven't heard?
Bird is the word.
Thank you. We love you. Goodbye.
Bye.
To have